Think about things that we hear. We think about our life. We think about those that we live among. We think about those with whom we disagree. We keep thinking. Prisons are full of wrong thinkers. Mennonite churches have many areas of doctrine that are correct, but have allowed the leading cause of apostasy in many areas in their thinking. Thinking is very important to how we do and how we live, and our actions that are spawned from our thinking. Not totally unlike perspectives that we heard earlier this morning, thinking. Last time I was at Elkton to preach, a man came up to me and said, "Do you know a certain family name?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I know quite a few of them." And he said, "Well, I'm one of those. I'm part of that family. And I'm here at Elkton Prison because I was caught in a sting operation." The interesting thing about that was that he never had committed an act of sin that put him in prison. But it was his thinking that put him in prison. The sting operation caught him thinking wrong, and he went to prison because of it, and he's still there. So thinking is important. I just ran across, I'm not sure how this plays into this sermon, but Henry Ford made this quote: "Whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right." I thought that was interesting. Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. Albert Einstein said this: "The world as we have created it is a process of our thinking. What we live among is because of what we have thought about as a society. It cannot be changed without changing our thinking." And so thinking is vitally important. And the Bible talks about the renewed mind. And I would like to you to follow along this morning. I'd like to have three verses for our text, three different books in the Bible even, that has our text for this morning. Turn with me to Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We are to have this renewed mind. And because we have this renewed mind, we can prove what is good, what is acceptable, and what is the perfect will of God. So a little more on what renewing means a little bit later. Turn with me over to Ephesians 4, verse 23 and 24. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What an amazing thought that is, that with the renewed mind, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, we can come to a place where God declares us righteous, and He says that we are truly holy. What a wonderful principle that is. Now let's turn over to Titus 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The renewal of our mind is how we prove that we desire to do God's will. It has the potential of doing good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I'd like to think about your car for a moment. You take it to the alignment shop to get aligned. And to have a renewed mind is like our mind is like your car. When your car needs alignment, it is not quite tracking straight. Let's just say the back wheels don't exactly follow the front wheels. A renewed mind is to track the right behind God's will with our thoughts, because what we think affects our actions. We will be judged by both actions and thoughts. An illustration of a mind that is not renewed is a mind that has selective obedience to the will of God. For instance, we follow religiously traditions in dress, and we can't seem to follow the teachings of Jesus to love our neighbors, to love our brothers, and to forgive, and to not think evil of our brother. The mind that is obedient in one area, is selective in obedience, and obedience in one area, but is not loving his brother like he should, needs to be renewed. We follow Jesus' teachings in forgiveness and love, but we don't follow Jesus when it comes to the teachings on not loving the world. That mind needs to be renewed. We need renewal in our mind if we just love and forgive and we can't make conclusions about not loving the world. The life of the follower of Jesus is to constantly adjust our lives to be more like Jesus in all areas of life. If perfect performance in some areas was what pleased God, I would not be a child of His. Because this morning I stand before you as a faulty human being, and I don't love as I should. And I do not do things as I should, but my constant aim and my blessing, the blessing that I receive, is that I want to serve God with all my heart. My mind is that I want to follow Him. What God wants is the attitude of perfecting or renewal or adjustment that depends on studying His Word, reading the Word, accompanying prayer, Abba Father prayer, where we cry, "Oh God, help me to be like I should be," and also assembling with the saints, and it could be many other areas that I could mention. But those three are very important, that we read the Word of God. And, you know, I'll just put a plug in here for reading the Word of God. You know, are you every day, or at least normally, reading the Word of God? Now, I had an ordination this week, and we always ask the question about a man's personal devotional life when we go through the examination, and I often ask the question, is it normal day that you read the Bible? And of course, we know there's some days we can't get it done. But is a normal day, you have your personal devotions and family devotions and so forth. I think it is so important that we think rightly about the Word of God. That's how our mind is renewed, is through us thinking rightly about the Word of God. And there could be more to say about that. But I would like to look at the scriptures for our points this morning. And I would like to see what the Bible says about thinking and what actually will renew our mind and how we should think right. I would like you to, for the first point, I would like to go to John 5:39. John 5:39. I think this is a really important point, and I'd like you to follow along with the scriptures this morning, because I think it's really, really important. John 5:39 says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Now some versions say, "Search the scriptures, for if ye think on them, ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." What you think about scripture, whether you believe it or not, is what takes us to one of two destinies. Point number one, our thoughts are the vehicle we ride to eternal destiny. Our thoughts are the vehicle we ride to eternal destiny. Let's think about your car again. You brought a car this morning, you pulled in the driveway, and your destiny was the Mount Joy Mennonite Church. Well, I want you to think about your thoughts now. Our thoughts are the vehicle we ride to our eternal destiny, whether it be, as like it says, eternal life or eternal damnation. It's our thoughts are the vehicle we ride to our eternal destiny. That is a sobering reality of our life. Thinking is the ability to choose. It's our intellectual ability. We can choose between courses of life. We don't have to. We don't have to follow the course of life that the Mennonites follow. We don't have to follow anything. We can choose, but the one thing we can't do is choose our destiny after we have not followed the scriptures. So if we think on the scriptures, we have eternal life. They are they which testify of me, and through Jesus is the only salvation that we can have through him. We must think about his death on the cross. We must appropriate that in Romans 6 and then various other places, that we appropriate his death and suffering to our lives and we die. We lay down our life and we believe on him. Secondly, and I wondered about how this point fits in here sometimes, but secondly, before the fall of man, before the fall of man into sin, man only knew good. The main accomplishment of the fall was that man began to know evil, and therefore they began to think in evil ways. So that was the accomplishment of the fall. So today, we can therefore make the conclusion that any thoughts contrary to the will of God will bring us to the results of the curse. And that is a serious thought to me. When I see people that are not satisfied with the good and right way and living in righteousness, and I see that they're disappointed, just know that you can follow that way if you want, but the end result will be what the Bible says, and that's the bestowment of the curse. It might take years. It might take years, but just remember that the curse is coming. I thought I'd go to, let's just go over to Psalm 73. I like that passage of Scripture. I think it's a blessing to read it. Let's start at verse 2, and we'll just scan down through it. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There's people doing well that are living out there just how they want to live. There are no bands in their death. Their strength is firm. They're just doing all right. They are blessed. They are making money. Their businesses are prospering. Verse 5, they are not in trouble as other men. You know, like people that follow God, they have trouble. These people are out there living like they want to, and they're not in trouble at all. And therefore, their pride compasses them about as a chain. They're proud men, and it covers them as a garment. You can see it. And, you know, verse 9, it says, they set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue talketh through the earth, and they're doing fine doing that. And then coming down to, okay, let's jump down to verse 17. Until the wicked prospered, until I went to the sanctuary of God, then understood, or I thought about, these thoughts, I understood their end. Surely thou dost set them in slippery places. Thou hast cast them into destruction. How are they brought into desolation in a moment? They are consumed with terrors. Dear ones, the world can go on. They can think like they want to about the old fogey scriptures. But remember the end. Remember the end. And it says that they set them in slippery, they surely thou dost set them in slippery places in verse 18. Thou cast them down as unto destruction. Now remember, in my youth, we had a 12 by 40 silo that had a round roof on it. And for some reason, I had this dream many times that I was up on the top of that roof on the silo and I was slipping down. And just, you know, you get right to the edge and then you'd wake up. And it happened many times. That's like it is to be then the wicked. On the top of the silo roof and slipping down. And the end. And the end. That's what you have to worry about. So you can choose your course of thinking. You can choose your thoughts. But at the end, the difference is the end. The end of life. What is the difference? That's what's important. Number three, and this is very important. If you're going to write down anything from the sermon this morning, probably this is what to write down. Number three, our will chooses our thoughts. And our will is always what our heart wants. Our will chooses our thoughts. Our will chooses our thoughts. But most often, and just about all the time, our will chooses what our heart wants. What we love is what we think. If we love Ohio State football, we think about Ohio State football. If we love money, we think about money. If we love immoral videos, we think about those things. That's what our heart chooses. Our will chooses our thoughts. And it is always what our heart wants. So therefore, it is important to do what Proverbs 4:23 says, that keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Our heart tells our will what to think. Out of it are the issues of life. Out of the heart are the issues of life. That's how we do. That's how we go. When we think about a thing for so long, we follow our heart. And it says the issues of life. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. The heart tells us what to think, and what we think will be what we do. That's a conclusion that you can make. What we think is what we will do. The man who killed Charlie Kirk hated him, because Charlie had spoken against his lifestyle. And he thought about this, and he grew in hate. He thought, and he thought, and he thought about this for weeks on end. And finally he said, I am going to take out Charlie Kirk, because he thought wrong. Yes, he thought wrong. He felt that Charlie Kirk had spoken against him in hate, and it wasn't that. John Wilkes Booth thought he could preserve the Confederate cause by assassinating President Lincoln. He thought he would eventually be a hero instead of the villain that he turned out to be, because he was for the Confederate cause. He wanted the Confederates to win the Civil War. He thought wrongly. Today, what you love is what you think about. And eventually, that's what you will do. Number four, sinful thoughts cannot produce righteousness. There is just no way. People say, we can take the wrong way, we can cheat and lie, or we can tell an untruth about another member in the church. Nobody's going to ever know it. And you cannot have sinful thoughts and it will produce righteousness. Turn with me over to Romans 8 and verse 6. Romans 8 and verse 6. These are very, very important words. Romans 8 and verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded," that's thinking, "carnally thinking minded is death." If you think about carnal things, but to spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, there's a difference in a Christian, because the carnal mind goes toward death, but the spiritual mind is life and it's peace. The verse 7 says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." The carnal mind has a life that's headed toward death. It's disappointing. It's disappointing and it's troublesome to have a carnal mind. But if we follow the spiritual mind, we will have a life. We will have life and we will have peace. You might say, I would disagree on that. Well, in the big picture, if you're satisfied with God's sovereign moving in your life and his commandments, and you think that God is good no matter what, that God is in control like Joseph did. You know, Joseph experienced the captivity, the rejection of his brothers, and his life was going down. It seemed like from a physical standpoint, it seemed like it was not going the right way, but Joseph stood, and Joseph's mind was thinking, God is good, God is in control, everything's going to be all right. And that's the way it was. Sinful thoughts, devious thoughts, cannot produce righteousness. How can I bring true spiritual life and peace to these circumstances? We've often asked that. We cannot produce life by yearning after our self-made idols. We cannot produce life by yearning after our self-made idols of materialism, self-image, or revenge. A lot of times, the things, our life, the incident we're involved in was done with right intentions, pure motives, and we are misunderstood and misinterpreted. You know, when we're that way, listen, sinful thoughts cannot produce righteousness. Anger, for instance, we can get mad about what people say about us. And we can even nurture a get-even response. We can say, well, we won't talk to them anymore. Except to our closest friends. We can harbor revenge in the tightest room in our hearts. But if it's sin, It cannot produce righteousness. Harboring your feelings of anger or jealousy will produce bitterness, and the result will show eventually. Pent-up thoughts are not trivial. They will produce unrighteousness. You can think, well, you know, I'm just going to not like that person in my heart, and I'm not going to tell anybody. You know, they hurt me, and I'm just not going to say anything about it, but I'm going to allow that little room in my heart to be angry towards that person. You know what that'll do? That'll make you have a bitter, ugly life. Esau tried that. Esau tried that, and he had a bitter life. Number five, preoccupation with negative thoughts towards anyone grieves the Holy Spirit, the source of our renewal. Thinking negatively precedes speech that is destructive and destroys man's reputation and so forth. Thinking negatively precedes speech that is bad. The person who has a renewed mind uses his speech for edification and serves as a means of grace. Let's turn over to Ephesians 4 and verse 29 through 32. Ephesians 4 and verse 29 through 32 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Corrupt communication comes from corrupt thinking. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, along with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." One thing that I think we need to be aware of, that when we have thoughts of revenge and hatred towards anyone, it stems from I'm important, me first, victim mentality. You know, it stems from a victim mentality that is crying, "I'm important. I'm the idol that needs to be worshipped." And folks, that grieves the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to have a renewed mind. We must have the Holy Spirit to have a renewed mind where we correct ourselves and our thinking constantly. When we get chewed out, and we get, you know, there's feelings of anger, and we feel like speaking evil of a person, just remember this, that if you want God to dwell in you and the Holy Spirit to be manifest in your progression towards the renewed mind, He will leave you. If you entertain these thoughts of wicked or of anger and clamor and evil speaking, let it be put away from you. Regardless of what the person said. Can we do that? Can we do that? Put it away. Just say, out of here. Number six, what we think sets the trajectory of our actions. We do things we have thought about. Our thoughts always end up at their intended target, and that is our actions. In Proverbs 23, verse 7, that old verse, he says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." You cannot get away from the fact you cannot entertain thoughts and be someone else in your actions. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. In a man's thought world, you hold the key to every condition, good or bad, that enters your life. And that by working patiently and intelligently upon his thoughts, he may renew your life, remake your life, and transform his circumstances and his character. Today, when you have been chewed out, don't think thoughts of revenge. And I know this is a high calling, but think things that build up. Oh, yes, I receive this rebuke because God wants to tell me something and I want to learn it. God help us to be this way, that we will think good about those who have said bad things about us. Through those, Jesus said, love your enemies, do good to those that hate you. Renewed thinking, number seven, renewed thinking has stop signs and red lights as what to say. And I find that in Philippians 4. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. You know, folks, brethren and sisters, if it's not true, 100% true, it needs to be verified. There's things that we do to verify truth. In the mouth of two or three witnesses is the standard. And if it's true, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, speak those things. Whatsoever things are honest, speak those things. If it's not completely honest, don't say it. Whatsoever things are just, there's a stop sign there. Is it just? Whatsoever things are pure, there's a stop sign there. Don't talk about things that are impure. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Stop. What you're going to say, is it going to be true? Is it going to be totally honest? Is it going to be pure? Is it going to be lovely? Is it going to be things of good report? If you're going to be a Christian, it says, if there be any virtue, a Christian with a renewed mind, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, our thinking left to itself would conclude falsely unless we keep filling our minds with the data of truth, honesty, loveliness, love, kindness. We must keep filling our minds with those things. We will end up concluding wrongly. Renewed thinking as stop signs. And the Holy Spirit makes those stop signs clearly evident. We need to go around those stop signs and keep going. We need to look at that stop sign and make a choice. Say, I'm going to keep going in my wicked ways, in my angry ways, or am I going to think on what is true, what is honest? Renewed thinking as stop signs and the red lights as to what we say. Number 8, man's thoughts will degrade away from God until God gives him up in judgment. And before the flood, that's the way it was. And it says that God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The threshold for God's long-suffering seemed to have been reached, and he brought the flood. One thing we need to recognize when we turn away from God is that our own heart has this propensity to be deceitful and evil, and it's desperately wicked. The reason we grovel in unforgiveness and love of the world and all the other things we think about is because our heart is deceitful. It says that in Jeremiah 17:9. When we are deceived, it is then we justify our vengeance towards someone by thinking wrong thoughts. Surely, they said things against me, and I'm going to harbor evil thoughts. That is a deceitful thought. You're deceived. The Bible says, and the renewed mind says, that when you are hurt and you receive wrongly from someone, that vengeance is mine. Vengeance is the whole prerogative of God, and you let him bring vengeance when he wants to bring vengeance. He said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord will judge his people. Our thoughts are so deceived sometimes. We must continually renew with the verses on how we should love and the verses in Philippians 4 and let God take care of vengeance. It is not our job to take care of vengeance. Number nine, the potential of the renewed mind is that godly responsibles are possible in the most adverse spiritual challenge. Godly responses are possible, praise God, in the most adverse spiritual challenge. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to this pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is the ultimate end of the renewed mind. I'll admit that I'm not there yet. Bringing into captivity all those thoughts of vengeance, all those thoughts of impurity, all those thoughts of materialism and self-idolatry, all those thoughts. It's possible, brethren and sisters, to bring every thought to the obedience and death at the cross. It is possible. That is what we have through the renewed mind. Holy Spirit-filled mind, we can defeat the enemy. Praise God. Finally, 10th and final point. True love is demonstrated by what you think after you've been mistreated. I just ask you this morning, what have you thought about in the last week? Charity suffereth long and is kind. That's if you love like Jesus did, you will suffer long. Long. Suffer long. And is kind. We do good things for people who do bad things to us. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself up. It doesn't rise up and say, I'm important. That's self-idolatry. That's when you have the idol of self. Charity, true love, it goes on to say in Romans 13 that charity thinketh no evil. What an astounding possibility that is. Charity thinketh no evil. Charity thinketh no evil. It believeth all things. It beareth all things. And endures all things. This morning, can you do that? Think no evil. That's true charity. That's true love. People hurt you. Think no evil. People tell you bad things. Think no evil. We can either choose. There's two sides we can choose. One is headed towards life eternal, and the other is headed towards life, whatever you want to call it, eternal life in hell, you might say it. That's the choice we have. We can think rightly or we can think wrongly. And your mind is what gets you there. We can think about God and all the goodness that he has for us and how Jesus died at the hands of merciless perpetrators. We can think about that, or we can think about getting even. We can think about vengeance. There are so many other things, and we can bring this message to a close, but there are so many ways in which we can think. But just remember that God, that a mind equipped with the Holy Spirit can bring every thought into captivity. We got that thought in the corner. It's penned up. And the Spirit wants to get rid of that evil thought. We can bring it into captivity. Praise God.